Kia ora everyone, welcome to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson and my guest today is Raza Nail. So welcome Raza, how are you today?
Thank you Lorna, I'm good.
That's great. So now if you've been following the programme, you might have heard Raza referred to by one of our previous guests about his work in establishing the Afghani community and some of their activities, and we'll be talking to him about that later. But for now, Raza, just tell us a little bit about what you're doing here in Palmerston North.
Kira, morning everybody. I'm Raza Nail from Afghanistan. I currently work with Palmerston North City Council in Palmy.
So what's your role at the City Council?
I'm a property compliance officer, so my role is looking after all the PNCC-owned buildings in terms of seismic, fire compliance, asbestos, and health and safety, things like that.
Right, and how long have you been working in that role?
I started with the council as a project specialist, and it was a temporary one, so I worked there for 9 months, and then now I moved to a permanent role. I've been working here more than a year now in this role.
Okay, good. So I better be careful here, but what's it like working for the City Council? How's that going?
Sorry?
How are you enjoying working for City Council?
It's fantastic. It's a very interesting job.
Interesting because you find it like different things to do every day, or some of the work is different to what you were used to, or?
Initially, it was a bit challenging because of things were a bit new for me. I was new to legislations and things like that. So, slowly I built up my knowledge around building codes and rules and laws and things like that. So it's easier now.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, some of that legislation, I think everybody struggles with that, to be fair. And so how, apart from the work, what else are you doing here? Tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you do in your spare time, as it were.
I'm pretty busy after the when my official job finishes, so I'm more focused on community level. So I'm providing as much support as much as I can for my community, for Afghan community. So currently, I'm the president of Afghan Manawatu Society. In that capacity, lots of activities I have to do, and in addition to that, I'm also a member of a Skilled Migrant Network, and also a member to Manawatu Refugee Voice, working closely with them, and also a member to Manawatu Multicultural Councils.
Wow.
And in addition to that, I work closely with Red Cross as well. So I've been selected as a member to Migrant Advisory Group for Red Cross, which includes 10 members from nationwide. So we meet quarterly, three times in a year in Wellington. So this weekend I was in Wellington for the two-day workshops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we had our first meeting there.
And how did that go? That's fascinating.
It was really good, I think. We heard from all the refugee background communities from across the country that either they're facing similar situations like we're facing here, or it's a different one. More or less, they're very similar, and it was really nice that to hear that what other community do, and we are learning from them as well. So, and also we are sharing that what we do here in Palmy. It was quite interesting as well, and to see that Red Cross is also expanding its activities to cover more needs for refugee and refugee backgrounds.
Yeah, okay. And I'm pleased to hear that they've got a reference group of people who have, direct experience,
right,
as opposed to people who might think they know what's best for your community. But I think only the community itself knows what works best, really.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, well, no wonder you're so busy. In terms of the the support that you have in Palmerston North here, how big is your Afghani community now?
We are around 63 families here, which makes to 260 people. From Afghan society. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
And most of those people have arrived fairly recently.
I think there are only a couple of families that they have been here living more than 7 years, but right. but the rest of them are just below under 5 years here. So most of them came through United Nations human refugees. So and a couple of families are coming through family reunion category right. as I came through yeah. that way as well.
Yeah. So I think possibly people don't realise in Palmerston North that, you know, our Afghani community is relatively new here. You know, many communities have been here for, you know, tens and tens of years, but your community is relatively new and just getting yourself organised, really, and getting a few activities going, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's really, really right. When I came here like 2.5 years ago, so I realised that our community is quite living in an isolation way, and they are not taking part in wider community activities, cultural activities, and they are not showing up themselves into the society. So I, and along with my my team, we decided that, okay, we'll come forward and we'll take responsibility to move and to uplift the society, to our community a little bit further so that they can show up themselves.
I mean, and I think you've been very successful in a short space of time with that. So I'm very impressed. And certainly, you know, others have spoken highly of what you've managed to achieve, you and the team. So did you have any experience of this kind of work before?
Not really.
Wow.
No,
okay.
Yeah. In my previous role, so I was very busy in my main official job. So I didn't have much time to work for a community in a volunteer basis, but because we didn't have those opportunities as well, so we didn't have the platforms. But here we have got the opportunities and the platforms to work for the community. It's an ongoing learning, I think. So as I go, I learn from community, from other societies that I'm member to them.
Yes, that you get that kind of collaboration from other groups, and you can learn from what they found successful and what they've found tricky.
Exactly. I mean, there are lots of information available from all the platforms and channels that I've now I'm in contact with them, and through those all channels that I get informations and the knowledge. So I keep sharing this with my community so that they can use it for their benefits.
Oh, that's very good. And I know that they appreciate you anyway, so that's good.
I hope that they are getting value of what we do for them, and they really enjoy it.
And I
just from here I would like to draw the attention of others as well to take part into society's activity, come forward and just help us as well, and help themselves and enjoy it. It's a fun as well. I think
that's right. It's not just hard work, is it?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you ended up in Palmerston North from your home country. How did that happen?
Right. I'll go a little bit deeper to from my childhood. I was born in Afghanistan in Ghazni province. So I was born in a village, actually. My parents were farmer, and then I was at the age of 10 or maybe 12 that we moved to Pakistan. It was a time of Taliban. So I lived there for a while, and then I moved back to Afghanistan and to India, and I did my studies in India. And then when I finished my studies in India, I went back to Afghanistan from 2009 and was working there with government and international organizations. And my sister, who came here, is a refugee in 5 years ago, so 2016 or 15. Then she sponsored me here as a family reunification, and I came here in 2018, August 2018.
That's fantastic. So that family reunification is quite a difficult model because there's not many places every year.
Yeah.
And but the aim of it is that families who are here in New Zealand who have got no support around them can sponsor family members to come. So did you just come on your own or did you come with family?
No, I've got my wife with me in also a little kid. He was just 3 years and now he's 6 years. And I've got a daughter who's born here. She's a Kiwi now.
Oh, you've got your own little Kiwi.
Yeah, so she's just two years and 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And so how was the change for you? Because you had traveled to other countries, but maybe not countries like New Zealand. So how did you find that kind of difference, I suppose?
Whenever you move, it's either internally within your country even, or you move to a second country, there is always changes. There is always difference in cultures and religions and things like that.
Yeah.
For me, it was not very much difficult, as you mentioned, that I had traveled to lots of other countries. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with international humanitarian organizations in Afghanistan. So I was a bit well aware of different cultures and norms and standards and things like that. So it was easier for me, but again, it had difficulties. It had difficulties when I moved into Pami. For my wife, it was a bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we had the ability to communicate with people in here, so that made it easier a bit for us.
So you already had English when you came?
Yeah, but it was a bit...
Not Kiwi English,
yeah. So when I came here, the first couple of months I was speaking to Kiwis, and I said, okay, yeah, I don't know English, maybe it's a different one.
I think that happens to all of us.
Right. I was not aware. I remember once I went to a KFC shop, and they asked me either you want to take it here or take it away. Yeah. And I asked them, I don't know, 5 or 6 times, what do you mean? And then my nephew was there. He said, they're asking either you're having it here or you want to take it away. I said, okay, take away. Now it's much easier for me to understand the accent, and I'm trying to adapt it myself as well a little bit.
picking up the slang and the way of speaking. And so for your son, I suppose, he's... just started school not so long ago.
Yep.
How has he found that?
It was difficult for him when we put him into childcare.
Right.
Because of
the
English.
He had no English then, I suppose.
No, but the teachers and staffs were so kind. So I stayed with him for 1.5 days, I think. And then they said, you don't need to stay with a child here. We'll take care of him.
Yeah.
And they said that he would learn English within a couple of weeks better than you. That one happened. And then I realized, after it was just a couple of weeks, he started speaking. And now he speaks better than me. Sometimes it's difficult for me to catch him,
to
understand him.
They're amazing, aren't they, children? They learn so fast.
So
does he
fast.
Correct you? Does he tell you if you say something wrong?
Oh, he does. Yeah, he does sometimes. And he says, oh, Daddy, you don't have to say that. Oh, yeah. And sometimes he shows me good things as well.
Oh, that's good. I think it's amazing. Kids are much cleverer than we are at picking up language and stuff like that. And so how about your wife? How was the transition for her?
When we came, my wife was pregnant. So she was 7 months pregnant, and we stayed with in my sister's home for 45 days. That was because we were not able to get a home.
Right.
And it was the most difficult part for us here in New Zealand. I applied for 84 houses, and I was successful on an 85th application.
Oh, good. Goodness.
That was the hardest one. So my wife.
So you'd be getting a bit desperate because the baby will be due any day. Yeah.
So normally, because that time I was not able to drive as well, and I had to walk for most of the to see all
see
the houses.
The
yeah. Sometimes my nephew, when he was not in Ukul, so he'd take me, but the other times I had to walk. So my wife was also sometimes walking with me those kilometers. 5Ks or 10Ks a day with baby in his carrying baby. That was a bit tough for her. Yeah, frustrating, but eventually we got it. So I think the first 6 months was difficult for me and for my wife, especially for my wife. But I think then we got it easier to go once we got home and
once you had your own place.
And I got my license and things like that, so it got easier.
Well, those first few days must have been quite tricky.
It was. And now she works as a dental assistant at Manawatu Dental Group, I think.
Okay.
And she just finished her level 3 degree at Nursing Pathway at UCL last week we had her celebration. So
oh, how exciting. Yeah. So, so was she qualified as a nurse then?
She's pursuing a online course for dental assistant.
Right.
Yeah. Part of that, she has to work under a dentist. Ah, so okay. She works there as apprenticeship, yeah. And then she would carry with her studies as well. Wow. In the future.
Gosh, right. you're an impressive family, Raza. That's you. Fantastic. Okay, look, we'll take a break now and play some of the music that you've chosen, and then we'll come back and carry on the conversation.
All right.
Listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and today's guest is Raza Nail. And just before the break, we were talking about what his first few days were like in Palmerston North, and how he got settled and his difficulties maybe in finding a house even to live in. So, Raza, talk to us about how you managed to find employment. What was that like coming to Palmerston North from Afghanistan?
Well, I think employment is one of the most difficult one here, yeah. For every refugee background or any migrant who's coming, yeah. into New Zealand, because of the lack of New Zealand
experience, yes.
and also the knowledge of the local context, you know, yeah. it's a bit difficult for the jobs that when you don't know the context of the local, so it's difficult a little bit. So the same was for me. My previous job was, I work as a high rank government official in Afghanistan. It was a bit overqualified for most of the jobs.
Yes, yeah.
But when I started applying for the jobs, I tried to apply for the jobs that are relevant to my experience and things like that. But once I got no feedback from the employer, then I said, okay, maybe I go for further away, you know, for more positions. And then I got desperate and I started applying for everything that came on my way. I applied it from the cleaning to, you know, to the director position of the production plant, right, or things like, okay. that. But it took like 6 or 7 months that I heard nothing at all from any employer.
Not even a response.
Not even a response that you're selected. You're selected for a short. You've been shortlisted. Nothing from.
You're just sending off application after application.
It was just like I was sending it nowhere. You know. And I have the record of those things that I've sent, and I got no feedback from them at all. It was really disappointing for me. Yeah, and I said, okay, it's going to be difficult. And my wife had realized that one as well. So, yeah, I was getting a bit, anxious and a bit stressful at home with kids, with my wife. And they were tolerating. They said, okay, you'll get it. Eventually, you'll get a job. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah. I think that's a very common story for migrants, and certainly my own story is exactly the same.
Right.
Arrived as a qualified vet, expected that I would be able to find a job really easily. It took me 9 months to find a job, and I was getting a bit desperate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with, an English background and a qualification that was recognised. So many people that I've spoken to before the show, but also on the show, have said the same thing, that it's actually coming as a migrant to New Zealand, it's very difficult to land that first job.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Once you get started, and then it's easier, I think, to go for.
So what advice would you have for either for employers who might be listening, or for, migrants who might be in the same position as you and I were at one stage, struggling to get their first break?
Well, I think for people like us that they're coming as a migrant here, my advice would be to go forward to the communities, communicate with people, make channels, make contact.
Yeah.
That's the – tell about yourself to people.
That sort of word of mouth type thing.
So, so those things will help you in understanding the employer, and also there would be some people around that they finally come for, okay, you've got good potential, so probably I can talk to somebody and he can hire you.
Yes.
That's an easy, rather than sitting at home and throwing CVs,
Yeah.
That most of the time that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
so there's networks.
That's the network, That's the network, very important for the people. And for the employer, I think my advice would be that they shouldn't just focus on the person that he doesn't have New Zealand experience. Rather, they should focus on if he or she has got potentials within themselves.
Yeah.
If anyone has a potential, I'm sure that within a span of 3 to 6 months, he or she will turn to a good asset to the organizations.
Yes, yeah.
So they have to take a little bit of risk, compromise a little bit, and just choose those people with expertise and potentials, and they can be a great asset for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I think maybe sometimes, employers don't like to move out of their comfort zone.
That's right, yeah.
But, there's the risk there, but also there's the opportunity, and perhaps maybe see it as more of an opportunity.
They bring with them experience from other countries, from international backgrounds, They can bring innovations to the organizations. They can bring, cultural change to the organizations. And those things would be valuable to the organizations.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, for sure. So do you have any time for hobbies or pastimes in amongst all of this community work and your family, your young family and your, in your paid employment?
As part of the activities for my society, for my community, this year we had lots of sports activities. We had soccer, we had cricket, we had volleyballs, we had netballs, and lots of other activities. So part of the organizer and also, responsible person, I was made to play all of them with them, because I wanted to encourage people to come along.
Yeah, you wanted to show them.
So I was, for example, I'd say for cricket, which started at 5:30, I had to rush from my work, pick up my kid, and pick up my son from the after school, rush to go home, wash their faces, change their clothes, and rush with them to the ground.
Right.
So that people should arrive and we start playing cricket. So I would hold them with myself until my wife finished the job. Yeah. She would come and collect it from the ground.
Wow.
And then I started my cricket.
I think that kind of, juggling with the childcare will be very familiar to a lot of people.
Exactly,
both parents are working. So you found that a lot of the sporting activities, you, the community liked it if you got involved yourself as a bit of a role model.
Yeah. So I played soccer with them. I played volleyball and I played cricket with them. So that, I'm not a cricket player, but okay. I did very well, I think, at the end. Yeah.
Did you?
I was one of them.
You got potential.
I've got the potential. So I think I can go ahead.
That's great. And you've been getting women's sport going as well, haven't you?
Yes.
We heard about that the other week.
Yeah, we have started a training by Manawatu Netball for girls, but I was a little bit disappointed because just a few number of girls turn up for the training. It was a free training sessions, and I hope that lots of girls, especially youth, they would turn up, but I think due to some cultural barriers and things and communication barriers, so they've got problems. But I keep encouraging them to come there. And apart from that, we have got a yoga class for elder women. They train every Saturday. So around 20 or 20, 25 of them turn every
25,
day.
Wow.
It's good.
Yeah, that's
It's a good
great.
Number. And they love it, I think.
Yeah.
They are really appreciating that. Oh. It's for a year.
Well, I know that the community are appreciating the great opportunities that you and the team, because I know it's not just a one man band. You've got other people behind you helping, but I know that they are really appreciating what you're putting together. And I think for someone who's been here a short space of time, you've really stepped up for the community. So well done. Well done.
Thank you, Alona. Thank you.
Look, we're running out of time. I can't believe how fast these sessions go. So I'll just say thank you very much for your time, Razza. Really enjoyed speaking to you.
Thank you.
And listeners, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson. And you can catch the show on Wednesdays at 3:30 or the repeat on Sundays at 1. Or you can get the podcast online at npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.